match. All right, boys, welcome back to another edition of The Sportsman. We got Mr. Joseph Peter DeMar over there. We've got Mikey V, and we got myself. Gentlemen, how are we doing? A lot happened this week. We got NCAA championship recap. We got Masters coming up. We got some turmoil with Mac Jones. We got a lot to get into. Yeah. But Joey D, start us off here. How you feeling, man?
Good. Got back from Vegas today. Tell you what, man, that place is just – it ain't for me, man. I mean, it is for me, but it ain't. It just, I can't get lucky down there. But that's neither here nor there. I had a good time.
Gambling.
I played a hell of a golf course, had a great time, couple of fantastic dinners. If you boys have never done the Nobu experience, I'm telling you what, man, that is next level. Now, it helps when you don't pay for dinner. It makes it a lot better.
Oh, Jesus.
So, man. I was very fortunate on that, but like...
Who paid for dinner? Back Nine Chuck?
Back Nine Chuck. God bless.
You had to throw it in, though, didn't you?
Let me ask you a question, and I interact with Chuck all the time. He's invited me to some of these extravagant trips, and I'm like, Chuck, like, he invited me to fucking, like, an LSU game, like, during football season. But, like, he invited me, like, 3 days before the game, and I'm like, Chuck, I really would love to go. Like, I would love nothing more than to spend SEC Saturday in the Bayou at LSU with like your whole red carpet that I know full well you'd roll out. Is this guy like he could be like a Dr. Evil level baron, like a villain,
yeah.
Like just a like that type of level of.
So he's got this. Terminology for these trips, he calls them the scholarship fund. So
yeah.
If you're in the scholarship fund, it's basically like it's I don't even know how to explain it. We've had the privilege of doing these things a few times, and it's just a no holds bar, just we get after it, and it is just like it is a legit.
I'm gonna have to explain to my wife. Yeah, I'm gonna have to explain to my wife. Look, listen.
I used to have the scholarship, but
I think it's revoked.
Right, your scholarship was revoked. Shocked. Ticket.
I think I don't interact.
Perhaps your GPA slipped.
I very well may have.
Has the absolute full ride for life.
I'm sure he does. I'm sure.
Yeah,
he does.
Back Nine is. He mentioned Ticket a few times on the. He wow. is a big, big fan of the Ticket. So I mean. Well.
Back Nine.
Maybe
is
we
got to
do a sports
fan. He's a huge fan of the program. Period.
Yeah.
He's a huge fan of the program. Period.
Yeah, and Jockey, God bless him, he supports what we do. But maybe we got to do a sportsman scholarship trip. But long story short, had a great time in Vegas. Just got back now. Masters starts tomorrow. Super excited. I don't know what's going to happen. I am excited to see. Basically, like, you know, for the first time, this with Liv being around, I want to see kind of like with some of these pairings, I want to see kind of how the interaction's going to go, what's the vibe going to be like. And I'll be honest, I kind of want a couple of these Liv guys to be in the mix. Like,
I think you're going to see a couple of those guys in the mix. And how about Phil Mickelson? Not saying a single word at the champions dinner. Yeah. That was the talk of New York sports radio this morning, which is, you know, it's a big story in the world of sports, not just necessarily golf. When that was kind of like their leading story driving into work this morning. That's what Boomer Esiason was talking about, was Phil Mickelson basically giving everybody kind of a cold shoulder. Now, according to him, he took the high ground. That's what he did by not speaking at the dinner. But that had to be, if that's true, and this guy just sat at that fucking table. By the way, that looks like one of the most iconic events. I won't even call it a dinner, but all right, let's call it a dinner. That has to be one of the best dinners in the history of the universe to attend.
Yeah, did you see the spread?
Unbelievable. Yeah. The spread is one thing, but just how everything is so meticulously perfect, and then they take the group photo, everyone's got the green jacket on. I mean, they're really, I can't think of anything else in sports that really comes close to duplicating something like that. I can't think of one. Like the NFL doesn't, like the Hall of Fame ceremony, like they do like a gala dinner the night before, but I just feel like the Masters, like it's behind, they make it look so exclusive, and the exclusivity of it is such like a, wow, I wonder what goes on. Like they take a picture of the door closed that says, you know, former champions, members only. Like it's got to just be fucking incredible. It has to be. And for Phil to sit there and not say a word is insane.
Well, that's the thing with Phil, man, is that he used to have this pristine, like, everyone thought the world of this guy. And ever since it came out about a year ago that he's pretty much a scumbag, he's leaning into it hard, man. And I will use the scumbag word. He's just absolutely a kind of a piece of shit, this guy. But man, that dinner, I agree with you, Mikey V. That is, I mean, that's close to a scholarship level dinner. I mean, that's close to a smidgen. That's a little taste of the exclusive life.
I will say too, imagine winning the year before and you get to pick your spread. I'd like to ask you.
That's awesome.
What, first of all, Ticket, I want to hear you first, because I kind of have an idea that Mikey V and my spread would be similar.
Mm-hmm.
Ticket, if you're picking your spread for that dinner and you got to go with like an appetizer, a main course, well, you could do with like an appetizer, main course, side, and then a dessert. I got to hear what you're rolling.
I'm gonna go hearty on you. I'm gonna get some baked mac and cheese, maybe with some truffle on top of that sucker for my appetizer. I'm gonna get a mocktail because of myself. I'm gonna get myself a nice Paloma mocktail. I'm gonna get and then I'm gonna go surf and turf on you. I'm just gonna get a nice, beautiful, just barely like a beautiful, like hard sear on the outside, but I want that sucker as rare as possible on my steak. I want it just absolutely bleeding all over the plate. And then I'm going to get myself some lobster on the other side of things. I mean, if I can have whatever I want, I'm going big.
And then dessert, what are you rolling with?
I'm a cheesecake guy. I go simple, just real simple with the dessert. I mean, if they want to fancy it up, but
steaks, you could have each guy kind of decide how they want them cooked. You just go steak and lobster.
So what are you going to do? I mean, what do you think that you and Mike
could
be having?
I think I would go more the traditional Italian route. I think I would have some sort of either like maybe chicken marsala or chicken parm with like a pasta, like a lasagna or ravioli. I might throw in, you know, for a starter. The starter is the trickiest one, to be honest, because I think for a starter – I'd probably go with like a hand-tossed maybe Caesar salad, like table-side Caesar. That'd be a real good start. And then for dessert, I'd probably go with – God, that's tough. I'd probably go with something like a – maybe like a tiramisu or a carrot cake or something like that. What about you, Mikey B?
I like carrot cake.
Carrot cake, by the way, Nicole asked me this week. She goes, it's Easter weekend coming up. You can pick any dessert you want.
She's like, well, pick something.
If I'm picking something, give me a good carrot cake.
No, she's got to do the homemade cream cheese icing.
I just don't think I've had it. Oh, that sounds good. I don't think I've had a good one. They're all dry. Every time I have one, if you have
a dry carrot cake, that's terrible. It should be one of the moister cakes out there.
It should be. Yeah. And it's not. Mikey V?
I tell you what, I would go. I'm not going to go in that direction. I think I would go more like more steakhouse route. I would go Seafood Tower app, and I'm talking Alaskan King crab leg cocktail. I am talking jumbo shrimp cocktail. I'm talking jumbo crab lump meat cocktail, and that route for that. And then I would go iceberg wedge lettuce salad with the blue cheese crumbles and the what is that, Russian dressing usually on that, or Thousand Island.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, your typical wedge steakhouse salad. And then for entree, you know, I think I would, because it's so classy, I think that, you know, a classy steak, you know, I don't know if I could go with a ribeye. Now, ribeye is my number one choice. Tomahawk ribeye is my number one overall choice, always on the bone. But I think maybe because it's the Masters, like something really refined, like the finest Wagyu filet mignon they have on the market. Like, you mean an A5? Like, I saw Matsuyama's dinner.
Well, I'm paying it up right now. Matsuyama had
the Wagyu A5. Yeah. Like, that's just, if you could just say you want whatever the fuck you want and they're making it, you rest assured that's what I'm going to do. Right? I'm going to do that.
Was assorted sushi, sashimi, and nigiri with yakitori, chicken skewers.
Yeah, I saw this.
He had a miso glazed black cod paired with the Miyazaki Wagyu.
A5 is like $1,000.
And an essential daikon ponzu, and then he did a Japanese strawberry shortcake.
That's nice.
God, I'd love just to be there.
Yeah, my dessert, would probably be chocolate chip mint ice cream sundae. I love chocolate chip mint.
I don't think I'd have the balls to order what Matsuyama did. I don't think.
Well, that's my whole thing. If it's just carte blanche and they're just opening the floodgates and they're saying whatever you say goes. That's a wild order.
Yeah, you
man.
Gotta go. And by the way, I thought Scheffler had some good things in there.
He did. I like the slider play. I love slider.
If I'm a guy on tour, the chicken tortilla soup is an underrated play.
That's a nice play.
You love that. If I'm a guy on tour though who hasn't won shit, and I'm sitting next to Jordan Spieth, and he's ordering a Caesar salad and a chicken dish, I can't sit next to him as a guy who's won nothing and order what Matsuyama did. I just think it has to come with some respect.
Yeah, but
Matsuyama's won a major.
Well, you have to, in order to make the menu, you have to win the Masters.
Oh, well, that's true.
So, like, you can't be at that table unless you have a green jacket. If you have a green jacket,
you could only win.
If you never win another tournament in your life, I feel like you could always rest on your laurels there and say, well, you know what? I won the Masters once. I had my own menu, my own dinner, and now I'm invited to every single one.
That's really all you got to do is win one of those.
All you got to do is win one. You're set forever.
Win one time.
Just win once. That's it. It's like the Heisman Trophy. You just keep coming back.
Unless you're Reggie Bush.
That's the only tournament that really you need to win once.
Yeah. All right. Well, as long as we're talking Masters, do you guys have some picks? Do you have some ideas of who's going to do well? Joey D, I know you want to wait for some of these pairings to come together, but I mean, you got to have some winners in mind.
So we did a thing for DraftKings, and I gave a pick. And the more that I think about it, the more I hate the pick.
You gave a pick in your promo.
It was for Bob the Sports.
Right.
We gave our winners our selections, and I went with Justin Thomas. And
I was wondering if you'd actually like that.
Not a bad pick. Here's the thing
is that it's not a terrible pick. I think he'll be in the mix. I just don't see him winning it. I think Justin Thomas to be a top 10 is a good bet.
I took him top 5, Joe. He was one of my picks for top 5.
Here's the thing. I think with Justin Thomas, he won the PGA last year, which was a huge win for him, and he came back on the last day and went bananas to win it. So, like, he can do that. I just think he's going to be in the mix, and I don't know if he's going to do it. Now, Perez's pick, I think, is a solid pick to win it all. And the more I think about it, the guy's won before. He's won the Masters before. He's been a leader going into the last day before. I think Jordan Spieth is a really solid pick to win it all. And then if I had to give one more pick for somebody who I think just I'd throw in there just for shits and giggles and just like I think he's still on top of his game, I'd put Cam Smith in the mix.
That's who I'm going with, Cam Smith, to win the whole fucking thing.
It's
unbelievable.
I don't want to give out all my only subs picks, but you just nailed almost every single. Now I didn't take Thomas to win. I took him top 5. But I'll just give these two away, but I have a couple others on there. But these will be the ones I give. I have Cam Smith to win it, and I have Jordan Spieth to win it. And, I mean, you're talking Jordan Spieth plus 1,800, Cam Smith plus 3,500, and I have another live golfer to win it, but I'm not going to say who. Another live golfer I have to win it. And you could probably – law of deduction, you could probably come up with it.
But a guy who's – a lot of people are going to be betting on this week because he's just coming off the live win is Brooks Koepka. I don't think he never performs well at the Masters. He seems to choke because he wants it so bad. So that's a guy I would actually stay away from. But Joe, that's my pick as well as Cam Smith. Forget the top fives, forget the top tens. I think he's winning this whole fucking.
Another live guy that I wouldn't sleep on is Dustin Johnson. He won the Masters during the COVID year, and people kind of forget that he's still an elite player.
Are we just dismissing Rory though? All of us.
The thing with Rory is his odds are the for like the beautiful thing about
betting golf. He's the favorite.
The odds that you can
he's
get.
The favorite. Like, listen, to take John Rahm top 10
is ridiculous.
To get those kind of odds. And I just think, like, I would almost even put down some money on a guy like some of these guys pay out outrageous. Like,
do you guy I got my eye on, Joe. Matsuyama. Remember Matsuyama.
Even a guy like Will Zalatoris, who's been nowhere to be seen. That would be like, and some of the payouts, just like, just sprinkle a little bit on some of these guys.
That's why, honestly, the betting golf for the big tournaments is so much fucking fun.
It's the best thing you could possibly do.
So much fun.
It's the most fun.
Anybody could bet it. If you have $10 in your pocket, you could have a fun time for four fucking days if your guys make the cut.
But even literally, like, say if you wanted to bet like $400 or $500 on something, you could pick 10 guys and throw $50 on each. And if or one 10, of them hits, you're going to make money.
But you don't even need to do that, is what I'm saying. Like, you could be a $10 better, and you could have, if your guys make the cut, you could literally invest $10 and have four straight days of entertainment if your guys make the cut. It's fucking incredible.
Do you know what Keegan Bradley is to win tickets? 16,000 to one.
And I think he's worth $10, $20, $30. I think it's absolutely worth it.
And by the way, with DraftKings, with some of these apps now, like DraftKings, you could actually take a guy who's leading going into it and then cash out before, so that
you could
actually get the value. Yeah. Like, I know that Justin Rose, when Matsuyama won it, Justin Rose had been nowhere to be seen. He was the leader going into the last day, and he would have paid out outrageous. So if you even had a little sprinkle on him, you could just cash out the last day and not even need him to win and still make your,
betting golf is the most fun you can have. Especially if I went over to the Jets last Sunday, and we were betting golf all day long, and it was as much fun as you could possibly have. You can bet each day. You don't even have to bet for the 4 days. You can bet
matchups
for
is any. Fun.
The matchups are so fun.
Mike, I don't know if you've ever done that, but you could. They will give.
I haven't even
gotten
into that yet. Yeah.
Oh, so they will give you like two golfers, for example, like on any day, and it'll be like, say, Spieth and whatever. Like, normally they're guys who are in the pairing together, or not even necessarily, and you just pick one of them. And that guy has to outperform the other. So it makes it so enjoyable, because they might not even be in contention to win, but you're watching every hole because you need your guy to win the matchup. And it's a ton of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. No, it's definitely I thoroughly enjoy it. I thoroughly enjoy it.
One last guy I'll give before we move on to the NCAA tournament game is a guy who just won a couple weeks ago and a guy who we hung out with recently, Joe, Sam Burns. I think Sam Burns is playing some hot golf. You can get him at decent odds. I like Sammy Burns a lot to at least top five finish.
Whoa, top five.
I like him a lot, man. I think he's playing good
golf
right
now. Do
you
like Homa this week?
I always like Homa.
I have Homa in one of the.
I think it's again, a solid bet, no matter. I mean, it's the same thing like Rahm. The thing is, is more chalk. So, it's not.
I mean,
that
Rahm is as chalk gets. I mean, you have to lay even money for him. Unless you're talking about him to win the whole thing, you're laying even money on him. Top five, top ten. It's sick.
You know who Bob took to win?
Who?
Total just like picked from the heart because he likes
Tony Finau. You know what though, bro? I thought about it. I really did. I really did think about it. I get it's definitely a
Tony Finau's not winning the match.
Yeah, I bet you were thinking about Arnold Palmer to win too, weren't you?
You know what? Let's talk about Arnold Palmer for a second. Okay. I have gotten now the Bubba Watson choice has been fricasseed and lambasted up and down the East Coast already. However, the Arnold Palmer pick is being defended by people. They're going to bat for Arnold Palmer. People are going to bat. One of the most lovable characters in the history of golf. He's like the Winnie the Pooh of golf, Arnold Palmer.
Okay? You just picked him because of the drink.
No, I know who Arnold Palmer is, Joe. I know he's a very famous golfer. He has a delicious drink. That's not the point. But he is one of the more lovable guys in golf. Reminds me a lot of Joe in a lot of ways. Just a jovial guy.
I'll take that and run with it.
There you go.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Mikey V, I stand by.
Next food episode with Nicole is going to be homemade Arnold Palmer's at the Giuseppe household. That would be nice, Joe, for Master Sunday.
And yeah, that would be good.
Arnold
Palmer Invitational would be more fitting, I think.
Yes, that's true. I should be invited to the Arnold Palmer.
I'm not going to say
it. Yeah, you should.
Not to play as press or something.
I'm not going to sit here and say you didn't know anything about Arnold Palmer, but it came across as if you didn't really know.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't know his life story, but I could tell you that he seemed like a great guy.
All right.
Ticket, you're old enough, and Joe, actually, you're old. You're definitely my. Do you remember the SportsCenter commercial with Stuart Scott and Scott Van Pelt standing behind Arnold Palmer in the line at the cafeteria? And they're watching him so intently to see the perfect ratio between the lemonade and the iced tea. Like that's a great commercial. Those old SportsCenter commercials were the best.
The best by far.
What do you think about Gary Player listing the Masters as the lowest possible major?
Yeah, that's outrageous.
I saw that. Why is that?
I don't know if he's got beef with Augusta.
Has he ever won the
Open at one.
Has he ever won the Masters?
I think he has.
See, that's even crazier. I could see him doing that if like he never won. Then you could just dismiss it as, oh, he's being bitter because he's never won.
Right.
But for him to have won, I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, Gary Player at the age of 29, he won the 1965 U.S. Open, the only non-American to win all four majors in a career. Yeah, he won a Grand Slam. He won the Masters in 1961, 1974, and 1978. He won it three times.
Holy shit. And he hates the Masters. Well, maybe it was too easy for him.
He put the British Open first. Then he put U.S. Open. Then he went PGA. And then fourth, he went Masters. I mean, that's...
Well, a lot of people debate the British and the Masters. But for him to not even put Masters second is egregious.
To put it at the bottom is... Every casual or non-golf fans at all know what the fuck the Masters is.
Let's get one thing straight. The PGA is last. That should be on everyone's. That was
it's
the newest
pageantry of the Masters. It's what it's all about.
It's unparalleled.
By the way, I don't know what they're going to do when Jim Nance's vocal cords finally give out. I don't know how they're going to replicate someone to be better than that. Because to me, like Jim Nance is Augusta.
Yeah, well, he's golf to me. I mean, he's golf, that guy. When you get Nance on a Sunday on any tournament, it's special, man.
But you know what? You say that, and then a new voice emerges, like you know, like we talked about last week with college football, with Brett Musburger transitioning from Keith Jackson, and now you got Gus Johnson, who I think Gus Johnson's very good. Also, and
he's losing his fastball a little bit. He used to be incredible in the NFL.
Well, you know what's going on? Who's that?
Gus Johnson used to be unbelievable.
I love him. I love him in college. But you know what? You can't spread yourself. They do all these sports. I don't know. Certain sports you just want to associate with one guy. But
yeah, fair enough. Gus Johnson in college is something really special, man.
Gus Johnson announcing a Jaguars game where David Gerard was the quarterback and threw a Hail Mary into the end zone with no time left, and somehow they came up with a touchdown to win
Gus
the game.
Johnson probably
I thought he was going to die.
He was so crazy. He's a wild boy, man. He's a wild man.
David Gerard, what a name from the past, man.
Yeah, that's a good name drop.
All right, boys, let's move on to the NCAA championship game. We had San Diego State versus UConn. A little insight on my night was my power went out and I was desperately trying to get the Brilliantly Dumb Show to load. I went to a library. I missed the whole fucking game. I missed the whole thing. I texted the Jet, how's the game? He said it wasn't good anyway.
It sucked.
So that's exactly
I didn't watch
right.
a minute of the game either.
You didn't?
I was at Nobu. Oh.
I tell you what, the college basketball national championship and the college football national championship, the two biggest money-making sports in college athletics, their championship games completely flopped. Georgia blew out, and it was a very similar situation. Georgia, a blue chip program, blew out a team that, yes, they were a 5 seed. Yes, they had a nice run. They should have lost to Florida Atlantic in the Final Four. They blow out a team that's never been to a Final Four before, a conference that's never been to a Final Four before. They blow them out. That's UConn, I'm sorry, did that. And then Georgia blows out TCU in the national championship for football.
I don't know if it's the same, Mikey, because
it's very similar,
Joe. I know,
Joe,
UConn was up by five with 3 minutes left in the game. I went to the national championship. The game was over after the first quarter.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I never felt like it was going to be a competitive game.
No, I know, but if you just look at it,
covered every which way easily. They covered the game spread. They covered the first half spread.
I know, but if you look at it, they were down 5 with 3.5 minutes left in the game. They brought it all the way back.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I just think I'll say this: the semifinal games were much better, except the UConn Miami game was not great. But that FAU San Diego State game was tremendous.
Yeah, it was good.
It was tremendous.
I can't help but think if FAU was in the finals, it would have been a better game.
Oh, it would have been a great game. That's why, and FAU should have won that game.
They made every mistake.
They led the entire game, and you got to tip your cap. That kid, he made a crazy shot to end the game. He had a lot of balls to do what he did to take that shot. That was not an easy shot in the FAU San Diego State game. That put a dagger right through my heart because I had FAU money line. I FAU.
Did too. It was awful. And you know what? I blame the coach. A, he left that Russian kid in way too long. That guy was terrible.
He had such a good game. He had such a good game in the Elite Eight.
Awful. He made one good play at the end of the game. He got a rebound and proceeded to toss the ball directly to SDSU. Yeah. He missed like two front ends of a one-on-one. He was fouling. He was terrible. They should have taken him out. Yeah. And to the point where I said, if I was SDSU, I would have just fouled him because the kid couldn't make a fucking free throw.
Yep.
Yeah, that one banged you bad. Loss. That one banged you bad. Now, Mikey B, I didn't see the game, but I do know what you're talking about as far as like, there are these games in basketball, it's a game of runs, of course. So even if a team comes back up and they're only down 5, by certain games, they're just never in it. Even though sometimes they shorten that lead, they're just never in it. And then they go back down by 15. And then, so I can understand. And from what I've heard, that was a lot of what that game was UConn pretty much had it the whole way through.
Yeah. And I mean, UConn, hats off to UConn. I had UConn getting bounced by Iona. In the first round of play, I think.
Well, it was close early.
And Iona had the lead at halftime, and I really thought – and then it was like after that Iona game, like you could not bet against UConn.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know if they had a close game. Like when I say they close, didn't. I don't think they had a close game.
After they won every game by double digits.
Yeah, they covered the spread in every single game.
I mean, they were a team possessed. Hats off to them. They did a great job.
That's Sagoda
or
Sinoga. Yeah.
That guy is a beast.
He's a monster. Of course, the one game I bet him for his points total over, he only had 8 points. But it was like his lowest scoring game of the entire tournament. It was Seattle.
The only guy I think who was more dominant on the boards when I was watching was the kid from Kentucky. He was getting like 70 to Thimbale or Timbale or whatever.
Right.
He was getting like 15, 20 rebounds a game. It was nuts.
The tournament all in all was great. I thought the Florida Atlantic story was the most intriguing story. Obviously, you know, Fairleigh Dickinson beating Purdue was incredible, but I thought FAU really as a 9 seed, I thought they had the sauce to beat UConn. I'll put it to you this way: if FAU had advanced, I would have at least thought twice about betting UConn. Once it was San Diego State, I understand they play excellent defense, but there was no way I didn't think they could keep up with UConn scoring the basketball. Like it didn't even like the thought never even crossed my mind to overthink it. I was like UConn the whole way, every which way, first half, game, everything. But I really thought first half only because the point spread is obviously half of what it is for the game, but 4 points at half, taking UConn all day. But
I feel like
hats off. They were awesome.
Feel like, too, Vegas might have taken a bit of a beating. I feel like a lot of people.
Everybody had to be on UConn. There's no reason not to be. Oh, you were on San Diego State.
Oh, boy. You like the juice. God, I like the juice.
He went against the only subs. This is what happens, Joe.
I know. I saw yours after the fact, and it was first half.
Well, listen, I got banged in the final four. I lost both bets. I lost on the buzzer beater, and then I had Miami with the points. I didn't take Miami to win outright, but I thought Miami would keep that a close game. But UConn, absolute machine, deserved it. The best team, like clearly the best team. There's not a doubt. Like that, they didn't get lucky, nothing. They were the best team. There's no doubt.
Well coached team, too. You have to say.
Yeah, very well coached. Very well coached.
I always wonder what people mean by that. Like when people say well-coached team, like in football and in any sport, really, I'm always like, how close are you watching the head coach.
No, they're,
I mean, like, timeouts?
Excellent.
No, I understand. I understand that you might know what I'm just saying. In general, when people say it's a well-coached team, man, it's a well-coached team.
Well,
I'm always like,
it's about having discipline and being smart and like and playing to your strengths, and that's what that team does.
Teams that may not have the superstar rosters,
right?
Yet they still win games. I always say that that's because they're a well-coached team, and the team itself is just well-rounded. And they just play together usually. So like Baltimore, I think the Ravens in football, like, I just think they're well coached. Now, I hate Jim Harbaugh, but I think that the other Harbaugh does it. John does a great job in Baltimore because their offense, not a lot of weapons really besides Mark Andrews. And they always seem to win a lot of games, always in the playoff hunt. They're an example for me of a well coached team.
But I there's a lot of people out there who will be just see an underdog team win.
Yeah, like well-coached team.
Well-coached, man. What a game on the coach, man. Yeah, wow, yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of football, man, let's get into a little Mac Jones news. I don't know if any of you guys have been seeing that going around, but looks like he's being shopped. He's being shopped by Mr. Belichick. Do you think it's the right move?
I personally thought that Mac Jones would have been like a match made in heaven for Bill, but maybe I think Bill's time. Bill is such an, like, listen, like, you get a lot of players who come out of that camp. Most of them are happy just because simply they won Super Bowls. But now you had Asante Samuel say something to, I forget who it was, talking about wanting to go to the Patriots and play. Maybe it was Lamar. I forget who it was. And he was like, yo, you trust me, you don't want to go and play for Belichick. Now, that's only one person's word. But I think maybe just Bill, maybe is Bill past his prime? That's going to be the question that arises if the Patriots have another bad season. That is Bill past his prime? You know, was it primarily because of Brady and more so than Bill? And I don't think that. I think Bill is a first ballot Hall of Famer. No questions asked about it. But Mac Jones, I thought, would have been a nice fit in New England. His rookie year, he was good. Last year, they were not good. But there's a lot of quarterback desperate teams, and I think the Patriots, if you're a smart GM, and he's basically the GM of that team anyway, that you have to do your due diligence to see what somebody's going to offer you for.
I don't disagree with you. I think, you know, I think Belichick is just old school, man. I don't know if he doesn't like you, if you're not in his wheelhouse. I mean, I think even like with Brady, I mean, with all the championships and everything, there were times where he looked like he just couldn't tolerate Brady on the field. Like, you know, and I think it's just kind of his demeanor. And for a young quarterback, that's got to be really tough because you need affirmation sometimes. You need your coach to kind of, you know, when you're having a bad game or something, to come and wrap his arms around you, say, you got this. We're going to go to your next game. And that's not what Bill does. And I'll be honest, there were games last year where Bailey Zappi looked like the better quarterback than Mac Jones. And
Bailey Zappi is a hell of a college quarterback.
I think, well, you said you used to bet on him all the time for
I used to bet his overs at Western Kentucky. I mean, the guy threw for like 77,000 yards a season. It was insane.
And the thing that sucks for Mac Jones is he seems like a good kid. Like, he really does seem to do and say the right things. But like, there were games where the fucking New England Patriots team, like, they're at home and they're chanting Bailey Zappi when Mac Jones has a bad series. It's like they think he's the next Brady again. That's not going to happen again. I think they need to get back to the drawing board. That's a one in a million story, the Tom Brady story.
Yeah, it is.
And I think they got to – if they're not set on this guy, they got to commit and go heavy in the draft or trade up or go for a guy like Lamar. You imagine a guy like Lamar with the Patriots would be – you know, that would be very interesting, but I don't know.
I think Bill's starting to see, you know, the months on the calendar start to slip by faster and faster each year. It's not 2001 anymore. I don't have a few years to really teach a guy like I did with Brady and help him build him. Yeah. I don't think he wants to go through that again. I think he wants a guy, maybe more like Lamar. It's not a style of quarterback he's really used to coaching, but I think he just wants a ringer. I think he wants someone that he doesn't have to do as much work with, that he can just help him win on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, he's a guy a lot of people would usually say, well, coach team. Absolutely. Last few years, less and less people saying that about him.
Imagine being a fly on the wall after that Raiders game. Oh.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine his reaction.
I mean, that is one of the most unenviable positions in probably all sports to step into right now, is being the quarterback of the New England Patriots, because the best player arguably in the history of the game, I'm not saying talent wise, but the best football player resume in the history of the game leaves. You have to fill their shoes. Not only do you have to fill their shoes, but then you have to deal with a guy like Belichick, who by all accounts is not the easiest guy in the world to get along with, to satisfy, and to get along with. So, I mean, that's
and not to mention the fans are so spoiled. You got to,
yeah, they're spoiled. Yeah.
I mean, you got to appease to a fan base that is used to winning Super Bowls in the last 10 years. Like it's nothing.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it is. All right, boys, one more topic. We'll make it a quick one before we get to some viewer questions. Did you guys see the guy proposing on the Major League Baseball field? Did you see that security guard launch into him like he was Ed Reed? He left his feet for a guy who was not running away. He was a targeting foul.
Was there any backup like story saying like whether or not the chick that he proposed to accepted the proposal?
No. The story was this guy got fucked. He got lit up, man.
It was a funny comment on the YouTube video where I was watching it the other day. I was like, Nicole, you got to see this. And one of the top comments is like, the guy goes, where was this security guard when I proposed to my wife a few years back ago?
That is good.
That guy's in concussion protocol. I mean, he is. And then it was just the way that, so that one guy fucked him up. And then his two other security guard buddies came over like he was still a threat. They pinned him down, put the cuffs on him behind his back.
But the ring went flying into the field.
Yeah, the ring's gone. The ring is gone. It's a center fielder's ring now, is what that
is. That's a K jeweler special. Man,
like, you got to have some type of awareness. Like, just see what's going on. The guy took a knee. What I would have done was I would have walked up to him, let him finish, and then be like, sir, now you're coming with
just
me.
Just put his head behind
like, now you're coming with me. I apologize, but now it's over. I'm glad you did it. I let you do it. Once in a lifetime moment, but now it's over. To tackle him like this guy was a member of the fucking Taliban was just absolutely, I mean, it was one of the craziest things I've ever seen. I've never seen any. Now, if that guy was a cop and did that on the street, forget it. This guy would be all over the news. There would be riots.
I can understand like
there's zero awareness from the security guard.
Did you guys
zero.
See like the streaker zero. At the waste management, the guy who was like going. Yeah. Now that's a guy you tackle the shit out of.
Correct.
But not a guy who's like not a threat. He's not running
for me. He was smiling. He looked like a little pussycat. Yo,
that security guard. Scared. That security guard joined with the LA Dodgers 20 years ago and has been waiting for his moment.
Oh, he's a young 100%. Guy.
Like. He's That's been what waiting.
It is. That's definitely what it is. I think it's definitely an attention thing. Like, he definitely knew he was going to get, he was like, this is my chance. I can't blow this. And he Bobby Boucher'd him.
Holy shit.
Bobby Boucher'd him. It was incredible.
The only person who got hit worse was me in that garage door.
Yeah, you got tossed, and so did that guy.
Yeah, it's not a good feeling, man. Do you know that video that Ticket took had the wherewithal to film that video? That video now, you know how many views that video has?
It's got to be over 9 million,
over 4
right?
million? What is it?
It's almost at 17 million views.
Holy shit. Wait, I am still getting torn
a new asshole. Like, there's so many comments now that I can't even go through them. And my phone, I'll just pick it up, and there's just like 15 comments of me just getting roasted.
Got to be getting a lot of followers out of it, too.
No, I haven't even got that many. I got like a few thousand followers. I tell you, I don't know if that's...
Yeah, a few thousand. That's nice.
For 17 million people?
Yeah, but you know
it?
What?
That is true.
As well as I do, though, Joe. A lot of times, like, those videos that, like, go... That hit and they get all these, you know, views, that doesn't always translate to the followers.
No, I know, but for 17 million people...
Yeah, it's a lot of views.
Just think I might get 5,000 followers. I mean, like, come on. Like,
I'm also...
Joe was hoping for 17 million views. He was hoping to cash at least 1 million followers. That's a fair ratio.
I would have been, I would have been happy with?
Percentile wise, Joe, that's a fair ratio. That's less than 10%.
I would have been thrilled with like 20,000.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I would have been thrilled.
Do you remember that guy who.
By the way, look at the bruising on my elbow here. Boy.
What is that from? The fall?
When he fell on his elbow.
This is all bruise. I don't know if you can see this.
Has it been affecting your swing, Joe?
My swing sucks anyway, so it might have helped.
It's fair.
Do you remember that guy during the pandemic who went fucking crazy viral for just being on a skateboard and drinking like Sunny D or whatever the fuck
he was? Yeah, that guy.
Listen to Fleetwood Mac. I honestly thought that was going to be you. When that thing started to pop the first day, I was like, this guy's the that new guy fucking Sunny D guy.
I thought Cuts was going to be like the Damn Daniel kid.
Yeah.
Remember Damn Daniel?
Yeah.
Got it again with the white
man.
Oh,
that's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess the problem with Joe's unfortunate interaction with the door was like, are you going to call him onto the Tonight Show and make him run into something? Like, what can you do? Like, are you going to make him duplicate what happened? Like, that's a little difficult to do. That's the problem. Like, if Joe went viral for like some kind of hidden talent that people didn't know about, that would be a different story. But
I'd like to at least be on American Funniest Videos.
Oh, that true. You should be on 100%. You should win the grand prize.
Well, I would have to give it to Ticket because he filmed the
Ticket,
whole thing.
Yeah, Ticket would have to get a cut 100%.
I've also made the mistake too. I don't know if followers are catching on or not, but like I made the mistake of seeing a viral video and being like, this is fucking hilarious. Followed the guy, and then everything else he posts afterwards sucks.
Trash. Yeah,
so I wonder if followers are just catching on and being like, it's going to take more than that for a follow, buddy.
That's absurd because God bless you. If they look at the history there, I mean, if they look at the history on the page and they see all of our stuff combined, I mean, it's a no brainer.
The only thing I could hope is that from them seeing our video, they at least maybe get some traction to like the Brilliantly Dumb Show or the Sportsman Podcast or some of the stuff that we're doing.
Yes.
I'm going to be honest.
By the way, we are now YouTube verified.
Yes.
Brilliantly Dumb Show is?
No, the Sportsman is now at the point where we have enough followers where we can start seeing some profits coming.
I thought you meant Blue Check verified.
No.
Yeah, that was
blue
a
check? Is there Blue Check on YouTube?
I mean, when I say verified, maybe it's the wrong word. I mean, it's like
you can monetize now is what basically
we're monetized. Yes.
I mean, we're at the baby steps.
Yeah, that's good for
big day.
We're moving the right direction. Mikey V's been a huge part of the movement.
Absolutely, has.
We're moving in the right direction.
Monumental, man. And I've got to say, that video is not that old. I think Jimmy Fallon could still call. I really do. I think you can still find yourself.
What are they going to do? They're going to ask me what I was thinking when I jumped into the fucking door?
That's my whole thing.
I think they might.
Where does the conversation go after the, how the fuck did that happen?
You know who loves that kind of shit is more than Fallon would be Kimmel. Kimmel loves shit like that. He loves pranking people. He loves people getting hurt.
Ticket should have held that video hostage is what he should have. That would have been.
I thought about it, but I'm a content guy.
He could have got Bob to pay for that video.
I'm not even saying for Bob to pay for it, but just to fuck with Bob, like that would have been so great, Ticket, if you were just
Ticket held the video from Bob, he could have gotten $5,000 from Bob for the video.
I think I just would have lost it.
No, it's not. If you saw how nuts
I did see his reaction to it. I'm not doubting he would pay. What I'm saying is like, I don't think Ticket would do that, number one. But number two, it might have been funnier to just be like, Bob, I can't give you the video.
That's a big ticket video. I'm sorry. Would have been willing.
Yeah. I think I would have just lost a friend is all that would have been.
He would have been livid.
I wouldn't have gotten any money. I just would have lost a friend. All right, guys. Well, let's get into some viewer questions here. First one's coming in from Bradley Sanford. Another question for the boys. What is the worst bad beat from a bet you've ever made? Let's start with Mikey V on that one.
Oh, there's been some bad ones.
Where do you want to start? I mean, I'm trying to think of like Saturday night, the FAU loss, FAU money line losing on a buzzer beater. That's not like it is a bad beat, but it's not a bad beat. It's not like they blew it. Like when you have a 20-point lead and if they blew a 20-point lead, that's a bad beat. Or if something like absolutely insane happens. I got one. A great one. I was at a 1-year-old birthday party at Luna Wood Fire Tavern, which everyone's familiar with if you're a fan of the general program. And it was a 1-year-old birthday party, and I had a 3 or 4 team parlay to win, I think, around $2,500. Every leg of the parlay was in. Every leg was in. I needed the Jets against XYZ team over 6.5 points in the first quarter. That's all I needed was over 6.5 points in the first quarter. Jets score a touchdown. And then this was before they even moved the extra point back further distance. and the kicker just shanked the extra point, and I lost because he missed a fucking 5-yard, 17-yard extra point, and I lost about 2,500. That was one of the worst beats. And not even a block. A block is different because a block, you could say, well, the other team did something. When the kicker just flat out misses an extra point, that is one of the worst beats in all sports. Missed extra points. Now a little bit different too because they moved it back. But I'm talking about in the old days of the NFL when it was literally a gimme every single time. Like the percentage for the season was 98 or 99% on extra points. That was one of the worst beats ever.
I'll give you one that was really tough was the Bills against Tennessee with Josh Allen on the 1-yard line, and they went for it instead of kicking the field goal at the end of the game to send it to overtime. Went for it, and he got stuffed on the 1-yard line, and they lost the game. And of course, I was riding with that one was tough, man, because they bobbled the snap. I'll tell you one, too. I was actually on the winning end of it was that TCU-Gonzaga game. Where Gonzaga was up at the end of the game, they were, I think the spread was 4.5. They were up 6. Mm-hmm. And there was like 0.2 seconds left in the game. The game was over. They hit the second free throw to go up 6. And TCU inbounded the ball. And they let the ball run all the way past midcourt. And the TCU guy just grabs it and tosses like a 40-foot shot with no time left as time expires, hits the three and catches
plus three.
Yeah, I was on the winning side of that, but there were guys during the game congratulating each other as the guy's shooting it.
Yeah.
Like, no one was even trying to stop it, and it just must have fucked a ton of people.
If you're on the wrong side of something like that, that's horrible. That's horrible.
It's awful. There's no worse
feeling. I don't remember a lot of my bad beats. I try to let that shit rub off. I don't like to wear my wounds. But the one thing that I can think of is a couple years ago at the PGA Championship, I had put late on Sunday. I think there was still like 5 or 6 holes left. I had lost so much money already in the day throughout that whole tournament that I was like, just give me a safe bet. Let me just make some of my money back. Let me just put a lot of money down on someone who's going to win this tournament. He's looking like he's going to win this tournament. It's bad odds, but I'll make some money back. I'll risk a lot, but I'll make some back. And Mito Pereira went on to blow. He blew a 2-shot lead on the last hole. He still, if he bogeyed, he would have made a playoff with Justin Thomas and another guy, Zalatoris, which ended up being a good playoff. They ended up being a very good one. But anyway,
he went driver on 18 and put in the water.
If he parred the hole, he wins. If he bogeyed, he still makes the playoff with these guys. And I still have a shot. He double bogeys to lose the whole fucking thing, not even in the playoff, and it ends up going to those two guys.
What sucks is he lost $2 million because of that.
Yeah, that was bad. And I remember everyone saying, like, he's young, he'll be back. He hasn't been back.
Never heard
of him. He's on live. Yeah, and he's on live now, so he made a fair chunk of money on that, I'm sure. But so, I mean, that wasn't a huge loss. It's not like a bet on him on Thursday or anything, but that I did not see that coming. A bad, bad weekend went to horrible real quick. All right. Thank you, Bradley. Next one coming in is Michael Mann. I sure hope it's the director. Sure do.
Yes.
What does Bear Down do for a living? Always been curious. You don't have to answer if you don't want.
Well, you'll find out maybe eventually one day.
There you go.
Bear Down could be Batman for all we know. He's got a cave.
Next one comes from Camden Winthrop. We basically just talked about this. How will the garage door affect Joey's legacy? Will he be able to be a contender, or will he live in constant fear of going bar down for a second time?
I will say the guy using the terminology bar down, he's definitely a hockey player, so I'll give him some credit there, but come on. You know, people are messaging me, do you have PTSD? Like, are you still concussed? Are you okay? And like, I'm like, yeah, like, you see me, I'm like still posting shit and stuff. Like, it's almost like, it's like a spoof almost at this point. Yeah, I'm fine. I would hope my legacy.
I think it would technically be PTGD, post-traumatic garage door sound.
You know what I was thinking? I should just send the video to every garage door opener closed and just try to get that's a sponsorship
not
a
bad,
out of it.
That's not a bad idea. That's
I'm like, there's 17 million views of a fucking garage door going up and down. You could just use my face.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you are still a contender, basically, is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah, he's a contender.
You're
he's
a contender. A contender.
This is only going to increase his legacy.
Perez actually said that the hit to the door actually that I came up a little bit more normal after it. He said he thinks that some loose screws were tied.
Maybe it knocks some sense into Joe a little bit. That's got that should be explored.
I'll believe when I see it.
Oh, wow.
all right. The last question we got coming in here is from Zeph Klapchick. Joey Da, over under total yards at halfback in a high school game, but top of the line high school football in the States.
Top of the line, like against like Matter Day?
Or yeah, like Matter Day.
How many carries am I getting?
I mean, you got to imagine they can air it out. You got to imagine
what
you're,
is
not,
the
you're
over,
not getting
what's
20.
The over-under?
They're asking what his over-under total yards as a halfback
as a
would
halfback?
Be. What the total would be.
In a high school game against like teams like a Don Bosco preparatory.
Don Bosco.
Like Matter Day. Right. Like IMG Academy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, Joe.
It might be. First of all, how many carries are you giving me? Like 13 carries?
Yeah, they can air it out. I think Joe. You're getting 13 to 15 carries.
Okay, let's
in
see.
This
on
modern...
13 carries, I'm getting like 7 yards.
Okay.
Well, but first you got to ask how you got on that team. You got to give yourself a little
that's
more.
That's neither
credit.
Here nor there. Let's just look. I'm
no, he's not necessarily on that team. He's playing against that team. He's not
they
necessarily
might have had 5 injuries
that.
And they brought me in out of the field.
Well, then you got to question your line, too. I mean, there's so much that goes into things. But
I'm saying 7 yards on 13 carries.
I'd hit the over on that. I'd hit the over on that.
I don't know.
The way you just
that,
took that.
I'm not a fast
the way you
guy.
Took that door down, there's man, and least... popped right up, I think you're getting more than 7.
There's at least one carry where I'm losing like 5 to 7 yards.
The line just implodes. And
I'm
going to
try to like roll
field.
Out and go around and I'm just going to get steamed.
Well, if we're doing real odds making, I mean, if we have to just set the line, we don't know how many carries he's going to get.
We say 13 carries.
It's just setting the over under on yardage. I think if you just went into it, high school game, clock is different than college. It's not as long quarters as college. College is 15-minute quarters. High school is 12, I believe. Still 12-minute quarters. So a lot less time. I think the over-under, if DraftKings set an over-under on Joe's total rushing yardage. Joe, you know what? I think it would be 18.5 for as a starting halfback.
Whoa.
18.5.
Well,
now,
listen, if I got like 1 or 2 yards just on a push.
Is Don Bosco prep? He's 18?
18.5 is going to be the number. Now, I'm not saying don't take the under. I'm not saying only subs would recommend the over.
Only subs would be smashing the under.
we would definitely do the under. But you know what?
That'd be his play of the year. He'd say take a loan out on
block of the century. Yeah, but I gave you a good total, Joe. That's a good total.
What about ticket?
Ticket?
Don't embarrass me.
I don't know.
Okay, because
well, you're a big boy
in a game. How many yards is ticket coming through with? Or yeah, tight end.
I've never seen ticket move.
I'm a slot guy. If anything, I'm a slot receiver. I cannot come out of the backfield.
You know, I don't know what his cardiovascular conditioning is right now with the vaping going
Mikey
on.
Mikey V would give himself 150 yards and 3 touchdowns.
I tell you what, though, my over-under would have to be minimally 75 yards. It would have to be because –
as a running back?
Who's going to tackle me, Joe? Like a 6'7", 275-pound running back? Like even like –
oh, you're saying you now as a grown man. You're not putting yourself in your 18-year-old shoes?
No, I'm talking today.
No, you're showing us now.
Today, ticket.
Damn, I'm slamming the under on
Joe
with the
18,
then.
If Joe was in his prime, if we're talking Canadian club hopping, Joe,
I'd get 50.
I would, but I'd say you got to put his total at about 32.5.
Yeah.
Now, are you putting your total lower at 18 or higher?
Lower. I was not. I was bigger when I was 18. I was playing left tackle and I was playing nose guard. So I mean, I was like close to 300 pounds. I was bigger.
Yeah.
I was 6'5", like 295. Yeah, I was big.
I would have liked to see at the end a little bit. I'm surprised they never tried you out over there. Like
because
hey,
they had DNs and they didn't have bigger, like they didn't have big frame guys. They needed so big frame guys. We got caught having to play tackle and having to play nose tackle. But I did mix in a little tight end, so that was good.
Yeah. Small little school down in central New Jersey called South Hunterdon Regional High School. Yeah,
I know.
300 kids. They had me at left guard. Left guard, freshman football. It was rough.
That had to be tough.
We ran
taking against the hog mollies up front.
Mikey V, we ran the Veer, which is meant for teams with bad offensive line. I mean, we were horrible. We were horrible.
Yeah, if you're if your high school team is running the wishbone or Veer offense, you are not. You're either really good. You're either really, really good.
Yeah.
Or one of the worst teams in the state. You know right away in the Veer or Wishbone, they're one of the worst teams in the state or one of the best.
Well, we were the smallest public school in New Jersey. I mean, we had no shot. We shouldn't have had a program. But back in the 70s, before they split us up, that they actually were a good team. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. That's the viewer questions of the week. That is the show of the week. And boys, any parting words, Joey D?
Nah, big week in sports coming up. You know, it's going to be a fun one with the Masters coming in. Baseball now is full swing. I'm already getting body bagged in that. I tell you what, baseball is one of the more infuriating things to watch. It feels like when you need runs, it's just nothing to be seen. And then as soon as you need no runs, the floodgates just open. And it's like they picked up a pitcher off the fucking street corner. It's I think I got to quit. I really do. But
I've heard this story before.
Football in sports in general. And, you know, we'll see what happens. Funnest tournament of the year for golf. So
you told me you were quitting baseball betting over 100 times and you just keep going back to it, man. I can't. Boy cried wolf anymore with this baseball thing, man. You're making your bed. You got to lay in it.
When there's nothing, you're limited in terms of what you can actually jump.
Take a few months off.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm looking at.
Tell you why, you might want to look at the New York Yankees total team run every game. Just look at it. That's all I'm saying. If it's around three and a half, four.
You fucked the Phillies up, by the way. We are an embarrassment to baseball.
Night. Oh, you won last night.
First game, this is the first win of the season for us.
Is it your biggest win?
The biggest run differential we've had since the 1800s. We haven't had a worse run differential since 1895.
Oh,
it's atrocious. And we just signed Trey.
The worst team in the league. I think just bet against them right now.
They always start slow, though, and they catch their groove. They're not good.
They barely had a run.
Yeah, I mean, well, look at us, man. The Phillies stink, too, but... All right, let's get out of here, boys. That was another fun one. That was a good one. I thought that was a lot of fun.
I thought it was great.
Anytime you can talk about Joey D in the garage door, it's a lot of fun.
Happy holidays to anybody celebrating Passover.
Oh, yeah, happy Easter.
Passover, Easter. Absolutely.
Passover for the Jewish community.
Yep. That's right. Like, comment, subscribe.
Our dear friend Jed is celebrating the Seder dinner this Saturday.
Yeah. Happy Easter. Like, comment, subscribe for all the holidays out there. Maybe do it for us, too. Doesn't matter. Like, comment, subscribe. Both on the Instagram, on the YouTube. That's how you're going to get your question into Mr. Anderson, and then he's going to feature it on the show. That's another good one, boys. That's Joey D. That's Mikey V. I'm the Big Ticket. We're the Sportsman. Until next week.